Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
Good morning. How you guys doing? I always wonder how long it's going to take someone to say good morning. I don't think Therese can wait that long. See, she's like, get on with it, buddy. You need to hurry up so I can go eat lunch or something. You know, that's what I want to do is go eat lunch. So I'll try to keep it short. We'll be out of here by 3. See, this Pastor Philip and those are coming in. You know, I got to keep it short. Anyway, welcome. Right? I love that song, How Great Is Our God. I just wonder, is that a statement or a question? Is a statement, right? And it can be a question too. I mean, how great is our God? Look at what He done, right? Look how awesome He is. How great is our God is a statement, but how great is our God? The same thing. What a great song, right? So I love it. So let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your peace. Thank You for goodness. And just thank You for loving us and being with us. And we just give You the praise for that, Father, in Jesus' name. So there's a scripture on my heart all week long. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in what? Right? He leads me beside still waters. And then the most puzzling part. Yay. Right. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But why is it yea? Yay, I got a flat. Yay, someone punched me in the nose. Yay, I get to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's just puzzling, right? Everything's about words and semantics and how things come about. Like, you can take something and make the word say anything you want. And that's why it's so important to know the scriptures and to know them in context, right? Because when you take the text out of context, do you know what you're left with? Con. You're like, I don't believe you, Pastor James. I'm glad you asked. Watch. Con. Text. Now, if I take the... I don't have an eraser now, though. So I can't take it. What's that?
You knocked it off on the floor.
I did? Well, this will work. This is also a cowboy brush, by the way. So like when I first come to Washington or go to horse shows, I have cutting horses, and so we'd get our horse out of the trailer and we'd go with our hands, saddle them up and go show them. I get up here and they got all these brushes and everything, and they're like, what are you doing? I was like, I got my horse out, and I was like this. And I was like, are you guys cowboys or what, right? And they're like, you don't have a brush. I was like, this is a brush. This is my cowboy brush. Now it's my cowboy eraser. Watch this. So when you take the text out of context, what are you left with? Con. That's why it's so important. What is God saying? Why is He saying it? And in the context of what He's saying. And so I love this. I was going last week, I was talking about trust in the Lord with some of your heart, with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. So, like, this is not easy all the time, right? You have things hitting you. I had some stuff hitting me this week and didn't go like exactly I planned. And Linda sends me the scripture, the song and the scripture on Psalms 23. Right? That might be partly why it's in my brain, right? Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me, right? And just thinking about those things, but we get to a point where we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. That means with our heart. Like we do think with our heart, as a man thinks in his heart, but sometimes our mind runs off, right? It'll just take off and it'll just keep going and going. And we try to shut it down all the time. And then it just, the more we shut it down, the more it runs off. I had two deals with horses that did that. It was like I could have called him my brain, right? Had this horse, his name was Gator, and he'd come off the racetrack, and I was working at a Charlet ranch, and they had thoroughbred racehorses. And they brought this big, beautiful race thoroughbred racehorse, and they're like, this is your ranch horse. And I'm like, oh, great. And so we're going to go tag calves now. So when calves are born, you have to go work them. So we did it the cowboy way. We'd have to go rope the calf, and then we'd get off, and you have to give it a shot or band it or do whatever you needed to do with the calf. So I got on Gator, and I was like, this is going to be fun because he's right off the track. He'd won a lot of money, too. Big, beautiful gray horse. And so we get out there, and I see a newborn calf, and I was like, oh, I better rope this sucker. And so I go up, and I ride him up to rope it, and it takes off. And I roped the calf, and I was like, awesome, this is going great. And I'm like, whoa, easy. And I pull back, and if you know anything about racehorses, they'll grab the bit, and the more you pull, they're taught to carry the jockey. Well, when I went to pull back, he hit a gear I have never experienced in my life before or since. And I was lucky I didn't tie off on the rope, or that calf would have been dragging right with me. And so I immediately, and I'm grabbing saddle, man. Cowboys don't grab saddle, but when you're about to come off, you do. I grab saddle, and about, 10,000 acres later, I finally got him shut down, right? I remember another occasion where I got this rope horse. He was coming in there trying to teach him to rope. And every time they'd go and they'd swing a rope on him, he'd run off. And like just run all the way. And they had this big old, it was 100 by 200 and something arena. It's huge. And they're like, James, when you go to sling the rope or swing the rope at all, he's going to run off with you. And like when they run off, there's just like no thinking about it. It's just like it's total flight mode, right? Because we have fight or flight, right? So they're in total flight mode. And so this horse is getting total flight mode, run all the way to the arena, whip around and run, and they take him forever to get him settled down. So they're like, can you help this horse? And I was like, I think. They're like, what are you going to do? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to let him move. I'm going to let him run. So I got him in a big old circle, and I just started loping. And as we started loping, I loped him for a minute. I was like, I'll get a little bit of edge off of him because I know what's coming, right? And so I start loping him, and we're loping and loping this big old circle. And I take a lead rope, and I start to swing it a little, and I can feel him gather. And he's like, you know something? I'm gonna take off. I'm going to take off. And I was like, I'm like, here, go ahead, take off. And I could feel him like, his brain's like, do I want to take off or do I? And I was like, no, take off. And so he did. And so I started swinging a little more and I could feel it again. And he's letting go. All of a sudden, I get up here and he takes off. And I'm like, go ahead, buddy. I can ride as fast as you can run. Right? So we're going this big old circle. And I just kept swinging. And he's running full blast around here. And I'm going in a circle and I'm just throwing his head. And finally, I get it where I'm swinging like this, and all of a sudden, I feel the gears switching in. I was like, oh, this ain't going to kill me. And then all of a sudden, he starts loping down. I was like, go ahead, buddy. And I kept swinging. My arm was tired. This wasn't like, when it was like this. You don't twist your wrist, by the way, when you rope. All the cowboys are out there like, that dude don't know what he's talking about. He's twisting his wrist, right? He's twisted your wrist. That's not cowboy, right? Is for propaganda or props, not propaganda. I guess it could be propaganda depending on who you think you are, right? So anyway, I'm swinging the lead rope and he notches down and pretty soon he's trotting, then he's walking and I'm like going all over and he's like, oh, you know something? This didn't kill me. I'm all right. And so I got it again, swung it, and you know what? From that day on, never had a problem swinging a rope on him again. Because he was worried. He thought that was going to kill him. In his mind, his mama told him, watch out for snakes. And now they got a snake on him? right? He's like I can't fight it from up there, so I'm going to run, right? And that's what we do. He had to learn to get out of his head, getting out of his reactive, we call it in horses reactive, his reactive brain, into a thinking brain, right? And so what we do in our lives is something comes up, and we've got two options that we usually do. Actually, we have three. Animals have three. They fight, they run, flight, or they just give up. Like, okay, eat me. Which actually, that might be the smartest one we got. Because when everything's coming about around us, is not surrendering and giving up on life, but surrendering and giving up on our ability to save ourselves. Does that make sense? We can't save ourselves. That's what legalism does. It's like, if I do this, I'm okay. If I can just be good enough, then God will love me. Right? The problem is you're conscious. Like you're never going to be good enough. Because you know you're going to mess up. You know you're going to make mistakes. You know, like in my, maybe you guys don't. I know. I shouldn't say you know. I know. Right? I'm going to mess up. And even when I don't think I mess up, I'm messing up because I'm wrong on that. Right? So we get into this mindset where we can save ourselves, and we can't. If we could, we didn't need Jesus, right? It doesn't say trust in your ability to get you out. It doesn't say trust in what you can do to get you out. It says trust in the Lord. You know what the Lord is there? That's the Old Testament. That's capital R, L, capital O, capital R. He's like, I am that I am. I am whatever you need. I am bigger than anything you could ever face. He's the same one who spoke the universe into existence, which, by the way, it's finished, but it's so powerful of a word. You know, the universe is still growing exponentially. That's a scientific fact. That's your daddy. That's the one who says, you know what? Trust in the Lord. Trust in me. Don't fear not, right? Because I might see you after you die or when I come back, right? So fear not. And fear not for what? I am with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, right? Why? Because he's with us. No matter what we face, no matter what it looks like, he is with us. And that is the gospel. When we feel alone, when we feel forsaken, when we feel heartbroken, when we feel like we ain't got nothing, he's like, I'm here. And I'm here to breathe life into everything that you need life breathed into. He knows your heart. Amen. He knows where your heart's been broken. He knows what you're going through. And he's like, you know what? I still love you. I'm not finished with you. And I got a purpose for each and every one of you. Will you trust me? He's like, not with your brain. Because your brain's screaming at you right now. Right? Is it just me? Or... right? And I got two of my little sisters are therapists, right? And so I asked them why they went into therapy, and I said, was that so you could help me? And they're like, no, there's no help for you. I'm like, what is that? I was like, one of them's got like three master's degree, and she still thinks I don't have any hope, right? I mean, come on, right? Our mind runs off. It's not our yets or a mind, but it's our flesh saying, I got to save myself. And do you know what? That makes us no different than a common animal, although I love animals and I don't think they're common. And I think they're way more have a more spiritualness about them than we give them credit for it, because I know horses, man. I can tell you straight up, there's substance there, right? But what makes us in God's image is what's on the inside of us. Not just it's not bad to have fight or flight, by the way. If a bear's chasing you, that's a good time to allow that to kick in. You hear what I'm saying? Right? But there ain't no bear chasing us. We don't have to run. And if there ever is a bear chasing you, you don't have to outrun the bear, you just have to outrun the person you're with. That's a true proven fact, right? Right? So always take people who are slower than you. Hiking. It's like, oh, I'm for one leg. Just like, do you want to go hiking with me? We're going to bear country. Well, why do you want to go with me? I'll slow you down. Yes, you will. Right? Hey, here, eat a sandwich. You need to fluff up, so I'll make sure that he wants you. Right? The battle's in our mind. If we can win that battle in our mind, and the way we win the battle in our mind is to lose it. Get out of our mind. I'm not talking about we have our yets, our mind, and our imagination. I'm talking about our fleshly trying to save ourselves. This may become to a point where, you know what? This might eat me. This might take me down. But hey, whatever. You know what? Because I still have God's promises. And 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. I can count on his word. And I can count on his promises. That's why he said, thy word have I hid in my brain, in my mind, in the book. Thy word have I hid in my what?
Heart.
Right. So I may not sin against you. You know what? Doubting him, we're missing the mark. So technically that's sin. Just straight up. I mean, that's too simple, right? Like, well, you know what? I'm going to do everything right, and I'm going to earn this, and I believe that's the way. Guess what? That's sin if you think that you can do it on your own. All sin is missing. You're missing the mark, right? How many of you know baseball players, the best of them, they have 100% hitting average? Right? They never miss. They never sin. Right? Especially the Mariners. Right? They never miss a fastball, a curveball, it don't matter. The best ones, they never sin. They always poof, 100% batting average. No. You know what? If they hit 3 out of 10, they're celebrated. Right? They're celebrated. And you think that's bad? Try being a weatherman. They're never right. Right? Maybe 1 in 100. Right? And so we think that we can hit it perfect every time. Man, that'd make being human boring. God knows. He's not mad at us. He knows. He's like, dude, I know you're not going to be able to hit the baseball, so I'm going to tee it up on a little tee ball for you. Right? And then, you know what? We'd still miss sometimes. Right? So he says, you know what? When I went to Mariners game and they had this, they were playing the Yankees. And they had this big old, I think you call it the right field where Ichiro used to be. Right? The Yankees had this giant come out. And he was like, boom, boom, boom. Like literally. And I'm just not too far up. And I'm like, holy cow. Is he real? I was like, at least he's slow. Like he ran like a deer, man. I don't know how he did it. His name was Aaron Judge. What a name, right? Anybody ever hear of him? He steps up to the plate. And they pitch him a ball. And it's like, whoosh, when he goes, bink, like this. Like barely hits it. And I like, it went all the way to Yakima. No kidding. Didn't even land in the thing, right? So that's what we have. That's Jesus. Like, we're trying to hit the little pitches and go whoosh, 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 everywhere. And here Jesus steps up. Oh, no problem. And it goes completely out of the universe. And he's like, guess what? My score, you get. What I have, you get. Right? So one of my mentors in the rodeo cowboy world, his name is Coy Huffman. He's the founder of Cowboy Church International. And when they'd start preaching, nobody would go to the cowboys. And so, like, him and Glenn Smith, another one of the founders, another one of my heroes, were sitting on the back of a tailgate. And these people come up and they're like, we want you gone. And if you don't leave, we're going to rope you and drag you down the road. What are you going to do about it? And he says, they said, we're going to love you. And God loves you. They roped them, drug them down the road. When they got done, they unhooked them and they're hurting. And they said, now what does your God think about us and what is your Jesus? And with tears in their eyes, they said, you know what? He still loves you just as much. And he still loves you, and so do we. And they literally changed the rodeo world so much that back when at the national finals, everybody was cutting prayer out of all the sporting events. And so they at the national finals, they were going to cut prayer out. All the cowboys got back in the back, even the unbelievers, and voted 100% that if they took prayer out, that they wouldn't compete. And guess what they did? They prayed, right? Like Coy said he knew this bull rider one time. He was a conqueror, right? He knew he was a conqueror. He said we are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, right? So this bull rider, he wins, goes out, and he rides this bull and wins $100,000, and they give him this check. And so he's like, look at me, I got this check. And he's like holding it up, going around telling everybody he's got the buckle. And he comes home, and his wife said, he's like, look what I've got. And she's like, great. And she grabs it. She says, that's mine. He's like, okay, that's what I did it for. See, the rider was a conqueror, but she was more than a conqueror. Right? That word in Hebrew or in Greek is hupernikos, right? Or God's grace superabounds. But when we become more than a conqueror, more than victory, we get all the benefits from that. He is our peace. He is our victory that breaks down every wall. And we can trust in him, right? And so there's this scripture in John. It's in John 3. Anybody ever hear of John 3? Right? And so Linda was actually at home last night. She was watching Family Man. It's a Christmas movie. She's starting to watch Christmas movies. I was like, no, not yet. Like, we're not even to Halloween yet, right? Like, what are we doing with Christmas movies? She's watching the Christmas movies, at least. Not the Hallmarks aren't broke out yet, but they're coming soon, right? They all have the same story, right? In the end, there's going to be some chick and dude kissing on each other, and the whole world's going to be right, right? So it's like, why are you even wasting your time with that? I can tell you what the end of the movie's going to be, right? I mean, all the guys say, amen, right? Except the ones sitting by your wives or girlfriends, right? Then you're just like, shh, but agree with me quietly, right? Right, so here is the holidays coming up, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna talk about Saint Nick. You know, Saint Nick's in the Bible. You don't believe me, do you? Not the Saint Nick you're talking about, not the Santa Claus, but this is a Saint Nick. Now listen to this, I'll prove it. In John 3, verse 1 says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now here's Nicodemus. We know several things about Nicodemus. Number one, he's Jewish, right? He's on the Jewish ruling council. And he's coming, he's not mad at Jesus. He's recognizing Jesus and recognizing that all these miracles have to come from God. And Nicodemus, he has a hunger and he has a heart for God. And he's trying to find God, right? And so now Jesus comes on the scene and it's saying here he comes to me. He says, Rabbi, he's like, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. He's acknowledging, hey, I know you're a teacher. And I know what you're saying is the truth. And I know that God sent you. And then he's saying, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if it were not with him. And so Jesus replies to him and he says, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So a few facts we know about Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee, right? So he knows the Torah. He knows the law. And he's trying to find God. And he knows all the scriptures. And he knows what Jesus is telling him is right. And Jesus is telling him, hey, dude, trust in the Lord with your heart. Not on your own understanding. Not like it's not just fight or flight that messes us up. Sometimes it's our own thing, our own knowledge. When we're dependent on our own knowledge and our own traditions and our own what we have. And here Nicodemus, a scholar who knows the scriptures, like high up, man, he's on the council. As high as you can get. And now he's saying, I want to know God. What do I gotta do? And Jesus says, you gotta be born again. And it's like, okay, time out. Time out. He's like, so you're telling me I'm going to have to go back to being a fetus, it's a baby, in my mama's womb, and I'm going to have to be born again. Here's Nicodemus. He's confused. You know why? Because he's trying to take it literal. The only plane he could see was the plane of the world. He was only seeing it from the flesh. And you know, you can read this, and you can read it and see it through the eyes of the flesh, and you can gain some wisdom, right? But the Bible says that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. There's more to this than what your brain just says. It's not just a scholarly book, it's life. It's the words of God. And so Jesus said, so how can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. What's he talking about? He's talking about trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, because your own understanding, your own efforts is flesh. It's like me. Linda told me, she goes, go fix your hair in the mirror. So I went to the mirror, and I'm like, actually, let me draw me. And here's my hair. Eyes, nose. I'm smiling. Right? I'm having a good day. She goes, go fix your hair in the mirror. So I go like this. And you know what? As much as I tried to fix my hair in the mirror, I couldn't. And she comes in the bathroom. We got this big old mirror. She said, what are you doing? I said, you told me to go fix my hair in the mirror. I said, it don't work. It don't work no matter how hard I try. Like, it ain't fixing my hair. Look, my hair is the same. I look in the mirror and I try to fix it in the mirror, and it's still going like this, man. It don't work. So she hits my arm, grabs a comb, and says, "Watch this." And she fixes my hair for me. I look pretty. It wasn't today. I'm wearing a hat. My hair don't look pretty today. Well, it does under the hat, but you won't get to see that, right? Now, how hard I tried in the flesh, I'm going to reap nothing. Or I'm going to reap what I get from the flesh. But when I go to the root, when I come inside, you know what's cool? It's like I can do my hair all day. It's not as good as she can do it. I can do my hair. Are you trying to fix the outside with outside means and your own efforts? Or are you going, like Jesus said, go into your closet in Matthew 6, right? Remember the whole Lord's Prayer thing? For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. No, that's not the right one, is it? What's the Lord's Prayer? Anyone know? Our what? Our what? Who art in heaven? Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done when I die and go to heaven. When you come back on earth as it is in heaven. And then at the end of it, he says, go in your closet. And what you do in the closet, God will do on the outside. Don't be like the Pharisees banging your chest. Well, I think the Pharisees were probably good dudes. They're just confused. Right? Not beating anybody up, right? He's like, go in your closet. And he says, I'll do the work on the outside. You can go in the closet and fix your hair. Now, I love Nicodemus. I actually work with a big Frisian horse named Nico. Nicodemus is Greek, by the way. The name Nicodemus is Greek. Nico, you know where Paul says in, I think it's Romans 8:37, where sin abounds, grace hooper Nikos, super abounds or super conquers. That's what Nico means. Nike, the swoosh, means victory or to conquer, right? Well, what does Demas mean? It means people. Victory of the people. You think there's a coincidence in these names? He's telling, here's Nicodemus. It could have been Bob. It could have been Fred. It could have been Sam. It could have been Wayne or Will or Jim. Better you go by James. But it was Nicodemus. It was good old Saint Nick. Why? Because God's trying to tell us victory of the people comes from walking in the Spirit, being born of the Spirit and not of the flesh. When we get that, we're still going to fight it. I promise you, my brain fights that. My brain fights God's promises. When things start hitting me, I gotta set back and get away from it and say, you know what? I see this is happening, but guess what? God says that this is going to work for my good, so I'm going to have to bless it and thank it. I was listening to a rabbi, and he was talking about the last year. He said, you know what? I want to send a great big thank you to Iran. And I was like, well, this is going to be an interesting. And they're like, why do you want to thank Iran? And he says, because before we were attacked by Hamas or Hezbollah or through Iran, not being political, just the truth, Israel, the people were so divided. Now they are so together. and we're seeing God's miracles like we've never seen before. And I don't believe that would have happened if it hadn't been for them. What if we had that thought process in our life? Man, this is horrible. This is bad. But what if God is doing this for us? Not that the bad things are good. Well, if we get this, you know what? I don't know how this isn't good, but I'm going to trust you in it, Father. You've got something greater in the midst of all this. Thank you. Are we going to trust him? That's all he wants, is to believe in him and for us to trust him. Amen?
Yes.
So, Father, we just thank you. We give you the praise and the mercy in Jesus, and the praise and the love for it. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.